All right, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, welcome to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And just in case you don't know, when you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low. That includes in the studio, right? Turn the lights down low. It's a low lighting show. And here in the studio of Dr. Suzy Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A., we have Brother Joe.
Hello.
Hello, Brother Joe.
There we go.
Happy 9/11.
Yeah, it's always, at least it's 9/11.
Seventh anniversary of 9/11. 9/11/08. We also have Sister Terry in the studio and Sister Sarah Sue.
Hello.
And hello. Brother Robert. Do we call him Brother Robert or Brother Corn?
Today I think he should be Brother Cornzilla, because today is a very important day for this man.
It is.
I take these things very seriously. Today is the 6-year Melliversary of Brother Cornzilla.
Okay, we'll get back to that. We also have Brother Tony.
I was so excited I had to announce it.
And Brother Nick. And Sister Lucy is floating around somewhere. So we're all brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs. And we are Americans, I think. All of us, are we? All Americans?
I am.
Americans?
We
proud
are
to
American.
Be an American.
We are all Americans here. And it is 9/11, that's the date. If you're listening to us live, it shortly will not be 9/11. So this is a fleeting moment here in time. But we're going to kind of, I don't know, do you say celebrate or honor?
Honor.
Honor.
Remember.
Honor. I like honor.
Right. The crashing buildings and the people and the sadness and the tragedy and the atrocity and the amazing movie that it made. Anyway,
I didn't see it.
I saw
you didn't.
A couple of them.
No.
You weren't watching TV when it happened?
Oh, no, I did watch it live.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you...
Oh, they made a movie about it, which I didn't know.
Oh, no. I don't mean the movies
made.
I mean the movie that was happening.
Yeah,
I mean, it was live. It was an incredible happening movie. I mean, talk about a documentary happening before our eyes. But we couldn't believe our eyes.
I couldn't. None of us. None.
We thought it was a movie at first. It was like some kind of opening to some big blockbuster or something.
Yeah.
It was very
crazy.
Much that feeling of,
very unbelievable.
Is this really happening right now in front of us? Very surreal. I can't even grasp how big this is going to be.
So this other big thing of Cornzilla's big corn.
I got so excited.
What was that? Is that something to do with 9/11? Or
no,
just
it has
happened?
Nothing to do with 9/11.
It's a coincidence.
It is a coincidence.
Yeah. Okay, he can't talk.
A true coincidence.
You cannot talk off the microphone. If you're going to talk on the mic, if you're going to talk, you have to run over to a microphone and push someone out of the way.
Yeah, I started a year after. I'm sorry.
You started
mellow.
You got into mellow.
His mellow. The key.
This is the anniversary of his mellow.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Well, happy mellowversary.
My I don't know if you know this, Suzy. My 5-year mellowversary was your masturbation show last year.
Aww.
And I thought that was the greatest way I could have possibly spent a day that is so important to me.
Yeah, that was a fun night. That was. That was the monkey rocker night. That
was
the clown night.
Oh,
yeah,
that was me
was
and Alex
night.
And the clown night.
Yeah,
that was a great night.
That was a hot night. That was a fun night.
Great night.
We have the monkey rocker clip available for your viewing pleasure on drsusanblock.com, which is our main domain. We have many domains. Many, many domains and empires yet to come. But for now, you can find most of them on drsusanblock.com. And you can also find us on the phone. We're phone people. It's very old-fashioned, I know. But we do like to talk to you on the phone. And sometimes we make you pay for that. We like that so much. But right now, we're not making you pay. You can make a free call. Well, you do have to pay for the toll charge, I guess, if you're not right in Los Angeles. Or if you don't have one of those phones where you don't have to pay, which most
like
people have.
Like a cell phone.
You can also call through
right.
Skype.
If you
all
don't
right.
have a cell phone.
You know, just, please.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm
so
sorry.
The number is 213-749-1330. Just our number. Right, 213-749-1330. And this is our second Blog Talk Radio show.
No longer our virgin show. This
no,
is episode
we're not virgins.
Two.
We're already making out. We're in second grade.
You were making out in second grade?
A little bit of Kissing Bandit.
Oh,
yeah? You
I
didn't play Kissing
remember.
Bandit?
No, I started in junior high.
Junior high?
I had little fake boyfriends in, you know, second grade, but we didn't kiss.
Well,
you
that's
know,
when I... Well, I Kissing started, Bandit wasn't like French kissing. It was just like that.
I started
quick,
when I was
very
like...
exciting.
Fifth or sixth grade, but the first sexual experience I had was with a woman. My first kiss.
Well,
was a
really,
woman.
You
yeah.
lesbo, you.
I know.
How did that happen?
I'm a big rainbow riding gay. That is true.
Wow. Were you in like boarding school or?
No, I was not.
Wait. Do gays really ride rainbows?
I would love to ride a
fun.
Rainbow. We do. Join our side.
Riding a rainbow?
You don't have to be gay either. You can be bisexual, too.
It feels like
Cornzilla
a magic
and I ride rainbows yeah. together sometimes.
When I think of riding rainbows, I think of when I was a little kid, and I used to love to like spread my legs over the sprinkler.
Oh,
that felt really nice. Really nice. That was one of my original masturbatory games. Original sex toys was a sprinkler on the lawn, and of course you'd see rainbows in the
yeah.
grass from the water reflected in the sun.
Wow.
So it was kind of like riding a
really
rainbow.
Maybe we should
riding a rainbow.
Maybe yeah. we could call that could be official masturbatory technique of riding rainbows. Would
you
be
know?
Too.
I kind of think we should sell sprinklers on the shopping cart because they're really cool things.
They are.
They really are good sex toys. These sprinklers.
Where would you ever use it that you could?
Where did I use it? Well,
no,
I was
where would
in the front lawn.
The,
put it
the
in
back
your lawn.
Lawn
like,
right,
let's
know, like
say
the
after a night you wanted to do the sprinkler trick,
right?
And you had a sprinkler, like a portable.
I think
sprinkler?
You would need to have a portable one that you could put into your shower or bath,
in
where
the
water
shower.
Goes up. It's you know what the principle is. It's the same as a bidet, except more so. Bidet just shoots up
well,
from one. Side.
You have that handheld thing here. Isn't that the same thing?
The
handheld shower nozzle. The
oh,
one that comes off
great.
And it.
Yeah, but you
around.
Don't. This is no hands.
That must be why
this
it's
is, you
always
can use
set
your
on
hands
the pulsate.
For other things.
You obviously, you wanted
you
to command
squat,
a water pressure.
Squat over the sprinkler.
Ooh,
the sprinkler is under
there.
You. That's that is the beautiful thing about the sprinkler. It's right there. It's like the monkey rocker. You don't really have...
So you're forced to be in that position? Is
well,
that
not,
what it is?
You're not forced by a sprinkler.
Well, I mean, with that, as opposed to the handheld that has the same
well,
type
the
of
handheld,
water.
You got to hold your hand on it. The sprinkler, you just set it where you want it, and then you squat over it. And then you can do what you want with your hands. You can make love to your partner or make love to yourself. You know,
yeah.
Or you can talk on the phone. You know,
right,
be on the phone while you're on
sell
the sprinkler.
Some sprinklers. I'm behind the sprinkler plan now.
I'm on
board.
I'm
ready to sell sprinklers.
I'm on the sprinkler train.
Okay, we should do that. All right, so we have to look them up. So who's going to do this? So somebody has to look up sprinklers and find a sexy one.
Yeah.
And we'll sell it.
A sexy sprinkler. Let's just Google that.
Sexy sprinklers. I don't know, but that should be what we call ours.
Should I
ours.
Google that right now?
Yeah.
Wait. I have the laptop. Hang
okay,
on. I'm going to look up.
Go
I'm going to Google
it. Sexy
sprinklers.
Sprinklers
and all see right. what we come up with.
You know what? You're going to come up with girls that
yeah,
like do golden
sprinkler.
Showers. I don't know. Don't do sexy sprinklers. Do sprinkler. Just sprinkler. The sexy sprinkler's going to come up.
High pressure sprinkler.
High. There you go. High pressure.
High
Joe.
Pressure
Joe
sprinklers.
Knows what the women need.
Yes, I do.
High pressure. God, I do love that shower head.
Oh, man.
What does this have to do with 9/11?
This is...
Okay, well...
Man, I
It has to
word.
Do with us.
It does. And
we cannot stop talking about...
Ourselves.
And our masturbation and our sex.
Yeah.
Or
it's
yeah.
a masturbatory
all those
show.
Things.
We talk about ourselves a lot. We will, however, talk about you if you call us. I mean, we're totally willing to
Let's
totally
give
get
out
into
that
you.
Number
give
again.
Out the number.
Yeah,
I
okay.
know. I just gave it out, didn't I?
Do it
I have to give it out again.
Do we have it in our posts for the listeners?
Should I?
Yes. Tell them to call the number. They should. Call
oh yeah,
them.
That's. You think I'm not on top of that? I'm
okay.
all over that. All
right.
It's. I'm all
so
over it.
Get on top of that sprinkler.
Maybe
they don't want to call us, right? They're bastards.
They are. They're just sitting out there.
They're mean. They're
making
snobs.
It, yeah.
You're
yeah.
snobs. You're all no. snobs. Okay.
Full access to
We're
the
talking
number.
About sprinkler sex, mm-hmm. and 9/11.
Oh yeah.
okay?
I like the way that you take it down a tone.
Well, you know, I want to have some respect.
No, that was very... You were honoring it.
Yes, honor. I think honor is the best way we should look at this today.
It's a little tough to honor in the way that I think it should be honored. Because
I agree.
The memory of 9/11 has been so sullied by the wars and the...
crazy extreme conspiracy theorists.
And the war on terrorism that has come out of it, that has been so destructive.
It's been a war of terrorism.
Yeah.
It has been.
Yeah. And so, you know, 9/11 just seems like an excuse for that. Even though it was this event.
It's like a dirty word.
It is. And I think it's been completely polluted, what that day meant to me and what I felt that day. When I think about it now and the state that our society is in, it's just depressing on a whole different level. It's infuriating. It angers.
And it is so hard to know what it was, because of course all the conspiracy theories have infiltrated all of our consciousness, and there's some grains of truth to all of them. I mean, I don't find one that really makes total sense, but
A lot of them have pieces that do.
And that includes the official story.
Oh, God. The official story
is the most
Swiss cheese, you know?
That is easily the
most. What did you guys think it was when you first saw it?
A movie. I thought it was...
I
thought it was the
it was
prelude.
Real.
I knew. I was... I mean,
not
I was
like
a youngin.
The instant you saw it, but I mean when you...
Okay, well, that was the instant. That's what I thought.
I watched it in high
That's
school.
That's pretty good. But I mean, when you first... What did you think was happening to the country, you know? Like, did you think we were at war? Was it Pearl Harbor? I mean, that's what I kind of thought. I didn't immediately think that it was suicide bombers or anything like that.
Well, I thought we found that bit of so-called information fairly quickly. I mean, I was just amazed by
it
at first.
It was given to
us
fairly quickly.
Yeah, it was given to us, wasn't it? It was something that they said that there
was
some, you know,
I
mean, we heard Iraqis maybe did it, you know, and then they found out there weren't actually any Iraqis there. Arabs, yeah.
Muslims.
I knew, I was...
But in general, we thought we were going to war. And then we did, but not with anyone in particular.
Not with anyone in particular.
You know?
I think I felt like...
A concept.
I remember I wrote a little column on it that maybe this horrible crime, I thought of it as a crime.
Yeah.
That we could track down the perpetrators and we wouldn't go to war. And wouldn't that be amazing? Because we didn't go to war for maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And,
yeah.
You know, so there was this 2-3 week period when I thought, okay, this, you know, America had all of this swell of sympathy from the whole world. And I believed that even though George Bush seemed like a douche, I thought maybe he will just be strong and track down the people that did this and bring them to justice. And
because it is just a crime,
It is.
Yeah. And because it didn't, I think pretty quickly we saw that it wasn't a country that did this.
No.
And I don't know.
They put the Bin Laden name up almost immediately.
Yeah, okay, Bin Laden. So I thought, okay, Bin Laden seems like he did this, so let's get him, you know.
Yeah.
Did you know today they finally announced
let's get him.
That Bin Laden didn't do it? Or at least he wasn't
the
mastermind? Yeah, it was officially announced as of today.
Really?
Really?
Yes,
Joe, thank you for your information, brother.
Yeah.
Really? It was announced by whom?
The White House Secretary.
Really?
Peroni, I believe is how you say her name. Really beautiful blonde chick. I don't know. I can't remember her name.
What the fuck's her name? She's hot.
So did they say that they know who the mastermind is now?
Yes. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Right. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy with all the hair on his back. So he's a hairy guy.
That one, oh. I think I dated him.
Well, they waterboarded him and stuff. They did, you know. So
obviously, they
make
clear information that way.
Growing your back. But, well, that's interesting because, of course, it never quite seemed from all the so-called evidence that Osama.
That's
okay,
strange.
It didn't seem like Osama was the mastermind. He kept saying how great it was, and praise be to Allah, this is wonderful.
Oh, yeah, he
also
was
said
just
he never
some
did
schmuck
it.
That took credit
right,
for
I mean,
it.
He did say he never did it.
Exactly.
And then he sort of slipped back, and he kind of thought, well, maybe I will kind of take credit for this without really taking credit. But he never really said he did it. And I don't know, the proof just seemed a little wishy-washy. He just seemed to be part of the general group of people that hated Americans. And,
yeah,
you know,
it was like 1984 when they just pick an
strangely.
Enemy.
Strangely.
So, okay, so now they say Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And what are they doing to him?
Oh, he's just sitting pretty in jail right now, but they're obviously not torturing him on a daily basis anymore.
Is he, besides that, I don't know too much. Did he get sentenced to something?
I know there's talk of bringing all Gitmo prisoners to an American court instead, but at this point, I really don't know.
He hasn't even had a trial.
I know he does. That I don't know either, actually. I know they have definitely been torturing him, but
we know about the waterboarding and stuff.
He might actually be going to trial for the first time, finally, maybe.
He doesn't have the star quality of Osama, so nobody cares what happens to Khalid Sheikh.
Yeah, he's just a normal dude.
With a lot of
normal
hair.
Normal hairy guy.
Normal hairy guy, right. I mean, normal. But he you know, if he really did mastermind 9/11, that would be a little beyond normal. But did he really? Do you think he really did?
No. If you think...
You know what? I love the word mastermind.
It's a great word.
I wish I could mastermind something like that. Well, not like that, but something of a grand scale.
You too can destroy towers yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty destructive. I mean, it'd be better to mastermind something
destructive,
creative.
Destructive, but it's on the global stage, you know?
You too can mastermind a show of terror.
I could mastermind anything.
Well, it's pretty violent and evil, you know, whoever did it.
Who makes it to the global stage without violence? I mean, what are the examples that we can think
Gandhi.
Of? Gandhi. Gandhi definitely made it to the global stage. But in the, you know.
Well, I mean, there's pop stars that make it to the global stage without violence.
You're
Madonna.
Right, you're right. Regular celebrities.
Yeah.
I was thinking political and...
Well, political people generally are violent. They're
violent people.
Sending armies into battle. That's what they do. They have to prove that. You know, that's a big test of their ability to lead, is whether they can order others to kill people. So, and there's been a lot of that going on.
Of killing people.
Killing people. It's a big business. Incarcerating people, killing people, destroying people's lives. Big, big business.
Damage Incorporated. Business is good. Mm.
It's America's main growth industry, really. We don't have too many others. Do we have any others? Any other growth
industry?
Not
anymore. We've pretty much outsourced all of those.
So war and prison, basically. Incarceration.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
Torture.
Crime.
Hollywood. But, you know, there's Bollywood. There's movies being made all over the place.
Sucks. They all suck.
They all suck?
Well, not all.
No, Bollywood
makes... One from every country is good.
And there's a lot of great European movies, and there's a lot of fabulous Middle Eastern movies. Really good.
I've seen some good ones, yes.
You know, I mean, Hollywood...
We have, you know...
We have
this fake, fabricated little industry that everyone's got their eye on, that everyone, you know, we created our own currency of a sort, our own industry. So it's hard to battle that.
Well, we have the biggest movie industry, I guess, still. But I don't know if it's a growth industry in America. Like, incarceration is a growth industry.
We have porn.
Porn. There's porn. There is porn, and that is international as well.
We're
but
quite
I think
dot com-y,
too.
I think all the major dot coms are American. I mean, there's a few successful .coms outside, but we're .com factory.
Are we? I don't know about that. I mean, I would think there's plenty of international .coms.
There's some huge successful ones, but the, you know, the tops are us.
Okay. Well, so we're not all about violence.
So .com, we win.
.com, we win.
And
we won a few gold medals in the swimming thing and, you know.
Oh, Michael Phelps. I just bid on this Michael Phelps picture on eBay. I think I won. I need to go pay for it.
You need that giant picture of your new boyfriend.
It's like, the reason I had to buy it is it's because it's the picture right where he won the race by like a 0.02 fraction of a cent or a second. And he goes, and like screams with his arms out and his abs ripple all the way down.
Oh, is that the one we watched,
Sarah? You like these guys with
mouth? Oh my god, it was so sexy.
His mouth is open and he's like, and he just looks like the perfect specimen of
man.
Alpha male.
He's pure man. And animalistic and the greatest in his personal craft and just owning it. Oh, he was so sexy.
And it was like no one was watching him. He was just having a moment of
victory.
Primal victory, you know?
Nothing, that was not for the cameras.
Yeah,
that was for
him. I love him.
It's great. It's great. I mean, the whole swimmers thing with absolutely no hair, though, I think is a little much.
Does he have no hair? I haven't even
noticed.
Well,
swimmers shave their whole body.
I haven't even noticed.
Yes,
they do.
They shave it all to have no traction in the water.
Oh, that's kind of hot. I didn't even think of that. He just went up a level. He has this little Olympic rings tattoo right on his hip bone, so like a little top of it pokes out of his Speedo, and like it's just fucking hot.
Mm.
Ooh, ooh.
All right. So that's what we think.
I need to get another picture of him where the tattoo shows, because it doesn't show in the raw picture.
Okay. So, let's see. We did a Playboy radio interview today with Suzanne Wang. And
it was
fun.
Wong?
Wong or Wang?
I think it was Wong.
Is it Wong?
Wong, yeah.
Well, I thought it was Wang, like Wanger.
Suzy Wong.
Wong.
How
probably,
classic is
probably
that?
Probably that is kind of classic. But it wasn't spelled W-O-N-G. It was W-H-A-N-G, right? I think. I thought it was Wang.
Well, I Googled Suzanne Wong, and it came up. I don't know. Who knows? It said HGTV.
We talked about fetishes.
No, that wasn't a delicious That was a
And it was fun to go to Playboy, but I think we have more fun right here on Radio Suzy One. Even with no callers. No caller.
Maybe it's because it's not Saturday night that they don't know to call.
Well, you know, we just started on Blog Talk Radio, and it is not Saturday night.
It's a spontaneous show, too. We were like, let's do a show.
Let's do a show. This was Terry's fault.
It was. I had this idea
fault.
Earlier today.
Did you go Terry on the wall said, let's and do tell a show. Everyone to listen?
I'm on the wall. Should I tell them all to listen?
Yeah, give them a URL to listen.
I mean,
it like,
also
hey,
is
call
11,
us.
Past 11.
And give them the number to
night.
Call.
Yeah, give them the number.
It is past 11 on a work night, too.
Well, you know, when we were doing the show every night, we had no problem with that.
I'm sure.
You know, and also on Skype. You know, we had a lot of people just
we're
piling in.
We're still getting into the groove here.
And this is not Skype where people just pile into your show. I guess they have to, I don't know, I don't even know who's listening. I can't tell by the switchboard. The switchboard just says 1111111.
It doesn't
one,
have any
one,
amount of listeners. I
one.
Wish you kept track of that.
It's very strange.
How does it not keep track of listeners?
Like, I don't
that's
know.
Like
that
irritates
me.
That's one
of the
very basic steps.
Because I know, and it's a widget, and it's everywhere. Anyone could be listening and maybe just
surely
be afraid to
call.
Surely
there are some stats.
I mean, your
surely
MySpace
is one of my favorite
stats.
New words. And sure. Almost everybody says, there are no new stats, and stop calling me Shirley. And it makes them feel really good that they add a little thing, you know? So, Shirley, it's a good one.
Is that one of your new little quips?
It is.
It's a good one.
So, my editor at Counterpunch said, where's my Sarah Palin piece?
Oh, my God.
And I haven't written one yet, because everybody's writing them. And
everybody
I'm trying to think of something original to say, you know. Maybe I'll write about Sarah's mom. Sarah Sue's mom. And I'm trying to figure out where to go with that.
That the conservatives feel like they're being liberal by embracing her, and like they're cool. That's the spin that you
that's
conservatives
really
feel like they're being liberal. Yeah. I mean, it's really quite a neat trick that this McCain did. An evil, neat trick to bring this theocracy into America.
I think you should post the bikini gun picture anyways.
Oh, yeah, everybody's posting
and
it.
Put a caption that says, likely fake, but this is the idea.
Oh, it is a fake. It's a fake. But
and so
all
is the election.
All the liberals like that picture. And so is the election.
Yes, indeed.
So then it doesn't really matter.
It was always a selection, not an election. There's a simple combination of factors that made McCain, as soon as I heard of him, I knew he'd be the winner. And it's basically white, male, Christian, period.
Well, that's all we seem to want to.
That's all we ever get.
Men that the entire country wants to govern us.
One
yeah, but
pattern.
We may end up with a white female super Christian president.
Because McCain is
watch
old.
Watch how fast the assassination bullet that. Flies.
Oh, you mean...
I'm just saying, that's
McCain
not how this
has
country
the,
flies.
If McCain has the inevitable heart attack it and would, then Palin becomes president, then you think she's going to get assassinated.
You would be amazed at how much...
Everyone's been saying that about Obama, though, and he's fine.
Yeah, everyone's saying that about everyone because everybody's
Obama
completely paranoid out of
their minds
right now.
Obama has definitely got the assassination attempts, but, or at least the warnings. But like I said, there's a combination.
I want him to win so bad. I want him to win like I want Michael Phelps. Like it feels the same.
That's right. Intense.
Yeah, you have a picture of Obama also that's kind of sexy?
On my blog, yeah, I have a picture
of
the
emo
Obama.
Oh, God, it's the greatest.
It says emo for Obama and it has the bangs because I love Obama.
And you are so emo and you love to be emo.
Yeah,
I have a picture of Obama on my blog with no shirt on.
With no shirt on.
Running in the waves.
Oh, that's a good one. See, we both like cater it to our tastes.
Yeah.
Yours is sex and mine is sadness.
Emo-ness. You stirred some waves in the community, too, earlier this year because you were very front page, you know, all about Obama, the Obaminator, everything.
Yeah, I get in trouble. See, Susie is very open about her politics and her writings, and whenever I write about politics, the kids scream at me that I'm brainwashing.
It's because they're a bunch of kids.
Really? You're not allowed to state your opinion?
No, no. Like, because they're so opinionated and they feedback
bratty,
so much that they say, oh, you're using your position unfairly to sway the masses to believe whatever gobbledygook you believe.
Well, what are they? McCain supporters?
No, they're not necessarily. They're anti having any agenda pushed on them.
They're just damn fucking straight. Melodramatic. That's what they are. That's
they're
all.
Emo, yes.
They're just emo, mellow kids.
Do not.
But I mean, I think.
They love
yeah,
to whine.
I sometimes envy the freedom of being able to just say political opinions all the time, but I still do it.
No, you should. It's freedom of speech, and it's
well, they're not stopping you. They can just complain.
Yeah. That's all they can
but
really
I
do.
I feel bad.
Aww. Of course, because you love Mello more than it will ever understand. More than any of those kids will ever understand.
Thank you. All right.
You should throw conformity to the wind and make your own choice. Write somebody else on that ballot if you feel someone else is a better person.
I'm going to write me.
I'm writing me, too.
Hey. Wait, did you say... Wait. I am legitimately on the ballot, folks.
Right, Dr. Block.
Okay, well, I'm not on the ballot, but I'm a legitimate write-in candidate.
Well, there you go. See
and,
what I mean?
And you can write in... Actually, write in Moore Block, I think. Well, Frank Moore is the president, and I'm the vice president.
Well, there you go.
See, so I hope you become vice president, Susie.
Why
well,
did you have to be the
take
vice
your
president?
Rights
why couldn't you be
and
the president?
Exercise.
I'm
you
okay
lose.
With the vice president. I think it's cool. You know, nation. Me and Sarah are both vice president. We get, you know, a lot of perks that
no,
way.
No,
and
I don't
none
want
of the
that.
Blame.
I don't want the first woman in office to have to squeeze her way in through vice presidency. I want her to step right in the front door as president.
I agree.
I don't It'd know why nice that matters.
It matters to me.
Vice president is very, very high up there. You know, nowadays it is. It used
well,
to be considered like the
cool,
toilet job.
But it's not, you know, it's not the presidency.
Your mother would be so proud if you were running for vice president.
She'd be proud if I was running for mayor, you know?
There you go.
Is she proud of Mello?
She's not proud of Mello.
She's proud. She just doesn't visit the site. She doesn't visit.
Has she ever?
Yeah, and then one of the kids made a picture of me, like, with a black cock, like, going in my mouth and, like, cum all over
and that
my
was
hair.
The one she saw.
Yeah, she just saw it. She's like, oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, Mom, they just tease me by, you know, photoshopping pictures of me with cum in my hair. Like,
doesn't your dad has remember. A Mello, though, right?
Yeah, my dad has a Mello. Joey 10.
I know, I've been
Joey
there.
Joey 10. That's your dad? Does he keep it up?
Wait, I want to see if I have him.
He posts pictures from time to time. He's got pictures of him on the Harley, a little picture of a baby flipping off the camera.
You got all excited. He posted a couple posts, like, all in a row.
On the Harley with a baby flipping off the camera.
Yeah.
Well, the baby's not on the Harley, but he does have, you know, he's a little edgy. I've got an edgy Harley dad.
Oh, look, there you are.
Okay.
Aw.
Good times. All right, next subject.
Next subject. I have some good hate mail here that I have to read.
Ooh,
I love some good hate mail that I got yesterday.
Ooh, this will be fun.
Yeah. It's good. I'm just looking for it here, so bear with me a moment. And he actually has his email address here, johnrichardgardner@yahoo.com. You are one sick, evil Jew bitch.
Whoa!
And you wonder why people like Hitler were created. I was wondering that.
Jesus. That's so horrible.
The good news is that with the ascendancy of the right wing, we might hopefully have another final solution. Burn, baby, burn.
Oh, my God.
And then he signs it, best, John Gardner. Now, the weird, really wow. weird thing is that my mother's maiden name was Gardner.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Spooky.
So, anyway, that was my most dramatic piece of hate mail. This week...
Wow.
He might be right
it
about the Fourth Reich being here.
It was awfully well spoken for yeah. such a racist.
They definitely won't be just
well,
for Jews.
Well, he was writing was in response terrible. To one of my counterpunch pieces, so that they are kind of well spoken, those guys.
But how can you be pro Hitler and well spoken? Hitler
was well spoken.
Oh, sure, Hitler was well spoken. Exactly. You know, I mean,
I just don't understand.
Right wing people
an
are well spoken.
Follow some strange path into the dark.
Well spoken doesn't necessarily mean intelligent.
That's right. Intelligence does not dictate anything.
Well spoken is just a style. It's con. You know. So.
I guess. Composing a letter is not that impressive. Not like bantering and a back and forth conversation where you have to think on your feet and come up with logical.
Yeah, and Obama's conclusions. Not that good at thinking on his feet.
Really?
I don't think he's good enough.
He could be a great speech memorizer.
He's a great speech memorizer. He does do that very well. He's very good. He's like a preacher.
I love him.
When he got caught talking about the CFR, he really pulled a poor spin directly out of his ass. Poor.
I hope to someday
what, the,
be
the
in politics.
What, the lipstick on a pig thing?
I haven't heard that one.
Oh,
no,
the
no,
lipstick
no.
on a pin was
to,
a pig was poor choice of words.
I saw that in the news, but I haven't read anything
say?
About
I didn't
it.
Hear.
Something about Palin and being a lipstick on a pig.
Oh, he called her a pig.
So a couple days after 9/11, when it actually happened, I wrote a little thing. So can I read it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, this is what I wrote right after it happened. The shock, the sorrow, and the gargantuan damage of the attacks of 9/11 have touched us all. Fear is in the air like the ubiquitous ash of the collapsed towers. We feel the fragility of human life. We are reminded that security is vital, but even the highest security is not foolproof. Technology is not the culprit here. In a few explosive hours, we learned that astoundingly effective weapons of mass destruction can be fashioned from the most low-tech tools, a shaving kit, a piece of string, a small knife, a box cutter. Human nature is the culprit here. This is the part of our nature that loves destruction. The rocket's red glare, the blaze of glory, the part of our nature that has faith in a vengeful, anti-pleasure, anti-female God who uses his followers to smite the sinners, the part of our nature that is jealous to the point of insanity, the part of our nature that believes in a fairy tale paradise after the apocalypse where all the erotic delights that were denied on earth are granted in perpetuity. This is the deeply selfish part of our nature that longs for instant immortality, for fiery fame, for a starring role in a TV movie watched repeatedly by billions. This is the part of our nature that believes that might is right, and that when we are wrong, terribly wrong, then the worst revenge is justified. This is the terrorist within us all, and we must fight the terrorists within us as well as those without. If we as a nation are to continue our self-assigned role as global beacon of hope, we must not give in to the terrorist part of our nature. We must do what we can to heal ourselves and our neighbors from the trauma that reverberates like aftershocks from a quake. We must mobilize our forces and those of our allies to catch the criminals who help perpetrate these attacks. And after proving their guilt, we must punish them. This does not include carpet bombing, let alone nuclear bombing, innocent people who happen to live in a country whose government may harbor some of those criminals. If we do that, as we as a nation have done all too often in the recent past, we will be no better than the criminals. We will be stepping up their holy war. Above all, we must not let these humiliating attacks destroy our freedom. That is a big part of what the terrorists want to take down with them, our precious, famous freedoms represented by our uniquely American Bill of Rights. It starts in the airports where we all too willingly submit to superfluous restrictions. It extends to our streets and public spaces where many of us, especially those of us of certain races, are treated like suspects, frivolously detained or arrested. And it overflows into our homes where more and more of our freedoms are violated by public servants and secret police. Speaking of secret police, certainly our CIA could have been more vigilant in its preventive search for terrorists. It's hard to believe they could have completely missed a conspiracy so large, so intricate, and so demented. But then who knows, since the nature of all secret police forces from the KGB to the CIA is that they lie about everything they do, not to mention everything they know. We may never learn how much our own spies knew of the plans for these attacks. Our media, owned by a handful of conglomerates, is not likely to question these things. Thus it is imperative that we as Americans question our media. Questions abound. What really happened to Flight 93? What is the nature of the relationship of our CIA and ex-CIA operative Osama bin Laden? Our airlines might have done a thing or two to prevent this tragedy, like pay their security workers a bit more than minimum wage. But nothing in life is risk-free, least of all flying. We must humbly recognize that these miraculous flying machines that glide above the clouds with such amazing grace are extremely vulnerable to the whims of nature, inept mechanics, as well as the stupidity and insanity of humanity. Perhaps our notions of air travel should go back to being a special death-defying adventure where we get to know our fellow passengers, rather than the ho-hum jaunt from point A to point B. Point B that it's become. Perhaps we'll never know if those folks on Flight 93 were victims or heroes, but we know the real heroes are on the ground, firefighters and rescue workers digging through dangerous rubble in the off chance they could help a fellow human being. Unsung heroes are those of us who remain sane in the midst of madness, those of us that don't call for holy wars to ease our searing pain. And yes, there are treacherous holy warriors amongst us, and not all of them wear turbans. When the Reverend Jerry Falwell declared just 3 days after the attack that God gave us what we deserve, I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who have tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen. He attempted to virtually drive a plane through the heart of the nation. Good thing the man can't fly. And what about our president? A president is just another fragile human, like the Twin Towers or just another couple of buildings. But both are symbols, something to look up to. That's why we are crushed when the World Trade Center collapses, even if we weren't crazy about its architectural design. And that's why we look to our president for leadership in times of national trauma, even if we didn't actually elect him. So just imagine if our president, instead of calling for war, against whom, called for peace. Just imagine if he exhorted us to follow the bonobo way instead of acting like baboons. Just imagine if he reminded us that the best revenge is living well. Just imagine if he told us that we mustn't be afraid, that we mustn't let sheer terror guide our hearts or our missiles. Some of us would feel frustrated, but America would prove itself to be a greater beacon of hope than ever. God and Goddess bless America, land of the free, home of the brave, mixed bag of diverse cultures. May we also be a nation of tolerance and forbearance, a beacon of hope to the world. Well, we didn't do that, did we? Not at all. But in the first few days right after, I really thought we could.
There was still some hope to write.
There was
about.
Hope. I had so much hope in that piece. But
a
know.
Lot of hope.
So now I'm so cynical.
In that piece.
I was. Beautiful. I was very emotional. I still feel emotional reading it. I remember how I felt. I felt there was a hope, even for Bush.
Why isn't that a blog? We should put that up.
Well, because I did it in 2001.
Oh, well, that would be why.
Yeah. It was 9/15. I wrote it on the 15th of September. So I was so hopeful.
4 days later, you already had bin Laden as a name.
Yeah, we had that name. Yeah, we did. We had that name almost the same day. I think Joe's right. It was the same day we had that name. Yeah. So, you know.
They mysteriously started finding passports relatively quickly. Passports, but no black boxes. That's all I can say.
So, it was a time of innocence those first few days. Right after.
It was just like raw humanity. Like you realized our own mortality, our own vulnerability, and didn't know whether we were going to rally or fall apart. It's just kind of clinging on.
And we rallied behind a war. And then another war. Then an even stupider war.
Well,
a war that had absolutely no relationship.
Around the nation. Like, well, everyone for a few days. The little flags, and we were like, we love America.
Yeah, I even was,
I was sort of with that here in this piece. Who is America started the war, we were like, well, I'm pro-America. I can't be against the war, because then I'm against America. You know, it was like a peer pressure.
I was against the war right away. Because, I mean, even in Afghanistan, because I'd been to Afghanistan, and I hated the Taliban with a passion. I hated the Taliban. They took down my Bamiyan Buddhas, the biggest Buddhas in the world that I'd climbed to the top of and had hot sex on.
Ooh, you know, nice.
You had sex on
that's
the Buddhas?
That's amazing.
Well, made out, you know.
That makes me feel so much better.
I know.
Like they didn't, you know.
They didn't go completely to waste.
Yeah, they didn't go completely to
waste. Oh, they were alive for a thousand years. I mean, alive. They were, you know, there for a thousand years. I'm sure a lot of people had sex in the Buddhas.
I was anti-war from the very beginning, and I was in high school when all of this was going down and stirred a lot of waves in a lot of my classes because I'm loud, I'm opinionated, and I'm not afraid to speak my mind, especially when it comes to things this important. I was very vocal, made a lot of my teachers happy, made a lot of my peers really upset.
I mean, aren't we supposed to be such great warriors? Why didn't we just send a bunch of people in to get Bin Laden or Sheikh Mohammed? We didn't do anything like that. We just carpet bombed
Afghanistan. Well, I like your part in the article where you said the president should have told us, just don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
You know?
Don't be afraid.
And just kind of, we're who we are and we'll be fine and we're going to send some elite investigators out to fucking handle this shit and beat the shit out of whoever did this, but we don't have to send thousands of troops into multiple countries.
Like, I know. Carpet
bombing.
So epic. Shock and awe. Let's get a marketing team in here to name our attack.
Yeah. And of course, we all know that Rumsfeld immediately said, how can we turn this against Iraq? How can we turn this into a war against Iraq? Did Iraq do it? Did Saddam do it? No, they did.
The only similarity is the Q in Iraq and Al-Qaeda. It's the Q.
Close enough.
That's what we've got. There's our connection.
We clearly have a Q.
That Q has always been suspicious.
Clearly, there's a Q involved.
As soon as I heard Al-Qaeda, I thought Iraq. Because I was like, who uses a Q without
exactly.
a U?
You're the audience.
Everyone has a U with their Q. If they
it
don't,
must be
then they're evil.
Well, Iraq ends with a Q.
Damn,
how are they supposed to have a U
and
after
Qaeda
that?
Has no U.
And you know what's sad? Q
it
is
should
one
be
of my favorites.
Iraq. I-R-A-Q-U-E. Iraq.
Why don't you try telling that?
Iraqi.
No, Iraqi would be Q-U-I-E. Iraq.
And even when you say Iraqi, you don't have a U after
it makes
the
me sad,
Q.
too. The
no,
Q
you
is
don't.
A great
no
letter.
U. It's a weird
it
Q.
A cool letter.
It's
so
one of my
everyone
favorites.
That uses a weird Q
yeah,
is
it gets
suspect.
A little use.
Exactly. It's why I like it in X and Z.
Poor X and Z.
I know.
Z is not bad.
And now Q is connected
this is,
to
this
war
is,
and
this
terrorism.
Is, this
we
is
can't
explaining
even use the word Q in this country.
How we got this country behind
I'm
this
sure Bush
war
was
because
in
of Q's.
Room and he's like, they both got Q's.
They got Q's.
Exactly.
We got to attack the Q's. We don't got any Q's in America.
Them's not Christian Q's.
Not America.
We got to take down them Q's.
What's that? Do we have a...
Do we have a caller?
Do we have a caller?
Do we have a caller?
Do we have a caller, please? Am I hearing a caller? No, I heard something.
I could take one, but I'm not aware of one.
Oh, nobody loves us tonight. I think people are listening. I'm almost sure people are listening. Why don't you call us?
I'm almost sure.
I'm almost sure
we have at least one listener.
I'm almost sure we're not talking to each other.
I hope they're listening. That's all I can really hope.
Well, you're listening. We know you're listening. And this will be on the archives, too.
It will. Oh, yeah, and it's all over.
Historic show.
And there will be people listening.
Seventh anniversary.
Man, I wish I'd heard it live so I could call them right now and make them so happy. But it will be in the past, so alas, they can't.
Okay, so here's what I wrote 3 weeks later. It's been 3 weeks since America was attacked, and though most of the ashes have gone to dust, for the most part, the terror has not. If anything, it has increased and multiplied into a complex network of fears, phobias, anxieties, question. Who did this to us? When will they strike again? Where will they strike again? How will they strike again? What kind of people would do this? Who's behind it? Who knows about it? Who's paying for it? Who's willing to die for it? What aren't we being told about them? And why, oh why, do they hate us so much? And what about us? What do we do now? How do we protect ourselves, defend ourselves, avenge ourselves, heal ourselves? Just how much of our freedom will we exchange for the illusion that we are keeping the terror at bay? How many more people will we imprison? How many rights will we give up? And how the hell do we fight back? How do we fight the terror? These are the questions we see in the media, mainstream and underground, not to mention the anxious eyes and bitten lips of everyone we know. But there's another question that always nags at my horny heart whenever something important happens, and the current disaster is no exception. What does sex have to do with it? Oh, scoff if you will, but sex has a lot to do with it. And I'm not talking about sex scandals a la Gary Condit. Gary who? You remember Gary Condit? I'm talking about sex. He was the guy who had a sex scandal with this intern at the time of 9/11, and it just got washed away with 9/11.
Intern.
I'm talking about sex as the essence of life, the supreme motivator, the greatest good and the evil impulse, the dirtiest alleyway and the holiest temple, the bonobo way versus acting like a baboon. What does sex have to do with America attacked? What does sex have to do with a young man in the prime of his life who believes that his wife, if he can afford one or four, should be shut up in a tent, uneducated, unseen, who thinks that if he expends his righteously raging libido in a terrible, violent, homicidal, suicidal act in the name of a macho male god, that he will be rewarded in heaven with a harem of beautiful virgins there to serve his every desire in an erotic, eternal paradise? What does sex have to do with America attacked? What does sex have to do with having our two tallest phallic works of architecture, our biggest dicks, the biggest in the world, Dick 1 and Dick 2, blown up before our early morning eyes on international TV over and over again, wounding us where it really hurts, using our own planes like the castrator's box cutters, slice into our soaring symbols of virile trade, forcing a ghastly, fiery sort of ejaculation, a gush of smoke, body parts and pain, a volcanic eruption of awful beauty. Beauty has no morals. A castration, a degradation, a humiliation beyond death. The death of the 6,000, that's when we thought it was 6,000, it was really 3,000, are painful enough. This international multi-billion-fold humiliation is a bitter salt on our wounds. The humbling of America, the lone superpower, master of the world, the man. We are all men in America, all strong compared to the poor of the world, and we have all had our big dicks cut off. Suddenly, without warning, well, we didn't feel warned, and it hurts real bad, and we cry, oh, how we cry, and we pray, oh, how we pray, and we're scared, oh, so scared, and we talk stupid when we're scared. We're a bunch of raving castrati. Our leaders talk about crusades, wanting someone dead or alive and ridding the world of evil. Our politicians beat the drums of war, against whom we're not quite sure yet, but war is on the horizon, and this is a different war. Yes, a war being fought by civilians taking planes, going to war, chauffeuring the kids to school, buying stocks, having sex, braving the terror, a different kind of war where the casualties are civilians, and not just any civilians, American civilians. At least we haven't bombed anybody, as of this writing, the 1st of October. In these weeks after the public painful slashing of our manhood, America has not gone off half-cocked. Indeed, we have shown admirable restraint so far. Of course, using medieval slurs and cowboy taunts to express our efforts to combat world terrorism doesn't help us wounded warriors get the international support we so desperately need right now. On the other hand, we've also got some ravers on the other side, people trying to cauterize the wound by saying America deserves this. Nobody deserves this. Then there are the two hip lefties romanticizing the Taliban, a bunch of small-time fascist women-hating thugs. Having spent a month in Afghanistan, I can personally say that I have long admired the Afghan people. And anyway, they're just people. But I put the Taliban ideology on the same level of the food chain as Jerry Falwell, who I'm now calling Jerry Ben Falwell, since he clearly showed us which side he's on by saying that the attacks on America were the will of God. Hey, with gods like this, who needs Satan? Like the outlandishly violent baboon Jerry's, the Taliban's, and the warmonger's response to attack is to attack back, even if you attack the wrong people, which creates the need for another attack, and so on. For years, America's had the double oceanic cushion that seemed to keep us mainland civilians out of harm's way, so we could attack without being attacked back. But those oceans are worthless now. The enemies are among us. If we attack, we'll be attacked back from within. Perhaps this different kind of war needs to be fought in a different way, not according to the more typical military paradigm of the baboon, but according to the bonobo way. Anyway, I go on to talk about bonobos and how we should do it according to the bonobo way, but we didn't. We didn't. I was still innocent.
We definitely didn't.
No, no, no. I said we can do this at the end. At least if we can try.
I'm glad you did your
try.
Part to like. I tried. Try to make it happen.
I tried to make it happen yeah, in my so, my yeah. my total yeah, small way.
You gave it everything you had.
Do what you can.
Yeah, I was wrong. Well, I wasn't wrong.
You
I kind of knew
you
that.
You were right.
I was hope. I had hope. That's why I get kind of cynical about the Obama hope thing. Hope is just.
What
a
you
feeling.
Have no hope now.
Well,
hope
no, I still have hope.
Fuck hope.
No, I don't say fuck hope, but it's just hope. It's just a fantasy. Hope is, it's good to have. It's good to have hope.
It is good to have hope.
It
Without
is.
Hope, you have nothing.
Hope got to have a plan.
You got to have a fucking end point that you're shooting for.
Hope is
Otherwise,
a very,
you're
very
aimlessly in the middle of nothing.
You always cut me off. You're so loud.
Sorry, I don't always cut you off.
No, I cut you off.
You're
half
pretty
the time.
Loud.
I'm pretty fucking loud.
You're
That's
way
true.
Louder than
I'm
me.
Incredibly, incredibly loud. No, but hope is a very, very dangerous thing to lose. For
yeah, yeah.
Human
no,
pride.
I don't want to lose hope. No, I'm just slightly cynical about hope. Because I guess I've been so disappointed sometimes, you know. Especially reading this and remembering how I had some hope that America was going to rise to the occasion, that we had been given all this sympathy, that we really didn't have to attack anyone. There was no good reason. And we did for no good reason. Well, for reasons that have to do with corporate war-making America.
Bunch of bullshit reasons.
Well, they're not really bullshit. They're because of the importance of the war industry.
You know, I wonder if as my progression through life takes me into millionairehood and top level corporation CEOism, like, will there be a point where suddenly I can switch and feel like making this huge of
I
a
wonder about that with you too.
You wonder about that with me or
yeah,
with
all you.
People of
no, you? I know with me it didn't happen.
I can't ever see it like happening. But then I see it happening to other people who I would consider intelligent.
Yes, it does happen to a lot of
people. I don't know
what
happens to them that all of a sudden they can justify this madness. Like, maybe it's the, people say power corrupts, you know?
Power corrupts.
Is it the power? You just have power and suddenly you
go. I think there's a few different things that happen. I mean, it's getting certain kinds of jobs where you have to, you know, you have a corporate boss and therefore you have to kind of go along with that.
Conditioned,
yeah,
sort of,
yeah,
desensitized
sure.
to your morality.
And then you know, I think having children does it to some extent. I mean, I don't know. I don't have children.
Having children makes you want to bomb, or
makes
you
want to. It makes you feel responsible for those children, and therefore you have to toe the line that society gives you. You're not just living for yourself. You're living for these children, so you have to. Conform and the pressure of conformity yeah. is stronger, I think, when you got a family. I guess. I mean, not for everybody who has family, but it seems to be strong on a lot of
general.
People.
Well,
and that
I,
seems
I
to change a
that,
lot of
but
people.
But I don't know if that translates into war.
If you believe,
like, is
at
that
all.
What you think? If you're very protective of your nest, that you're also going to feel aggressive towards...
No, I don't mean it that way. What I mean is that you feel more of a need to conform so you can bring home the bacon to the family.
Yeah.
You have to feed the family because you lose your job if you speak out against the powers that be.
You
often lose your job. Just like you felt so on Mellow, you had these people saying, don't do that, you can't talk
right,
your mind.
Right.
They're your boss in a way. And if you succumb to that, then you're kind of zipping up, you know, and you conform a little.
So you feel that the top level people are conforming, you know,
for the most part, top level people are
conforming to each other.
I mean, I think so. I think you know, our president is the biggest conformist of them all. He's taken the orders from higher ups within his family. You know, extended family conspiracy, rich people clan.
Oh, I love that whole idea. I wish I could
be part
play
of that.
In that world. Yes.
I know, Sarah. That's why I worry about you. You could marry someone. You could become part of that world.
Oh, if I could marry into that would...
You could.
I would do horrible things in order to be able to marry someone like that.
Wanted hot, young, single Republican, preferably with a shaved body.
Ew, a Republican?
Well, yeah, you got to get a Republican to join this club. Sarah wants to join the club.
Gross.
She wants to marry into the club.
I could never even date a Republican.
No, I'm not worried about you, Terry. No, Sarah, I think.
Don't worry about me.
I don't like Republicans.
Terry's a rebel.
I am a rebel.
I like dark rooms, strategizing, power mongering craziness, you know?
Well, yeah.
It works like this. At a certain point,
if you believe
at all in the elite power theory,
he's going to keep his eye on me now because he knows I'll be part of that conspiracy.
I'm keeping my eye on you too. I want to get some of the money. I want to get the clients because they're all so sexually repressed. They need sex therapy.
They are so sexually repressed.
Tell it, Brother Joe.
At a certain level, if you have a lot of power and or money, you can only go so far in our industry without being tapped. Much like Arnold Schwarzenegger was tapped
in any industry.
Oh, absolutely!
But tapped by
they literally
the big dogs,
tap you.
Right?
Yes, they tap you and
exactly.
they say, "Would you?"
Yeah. You just have to climb the ladder until you're a little bit noticeable, and then they go, "Hey, why don't you meet me for dinner?" And
yeah, hey,
Sarah's waiting for the tap. She's learning golf.
Yeah,
she's ready to play golf with them.
I'm spreading my seeds.
You just gotta lay on your back at the right at the right time for the right person.
I want to know when it happens. When you get tapped, you're going to let me know, right?
I should say this on the radio.
You're not going to keep it a secret when you get tapped.
No, no. Unless I absolutely have to.
Oh, that you have to. They will.
I'll be like, a big wink. You'll go, what were you doing tonight? And I'll go,
wink, wink.
Tap dancing. Tap dancing, yes.
Tap dancing.
Tap me, baby.
So
anyways, my ultimate goal, I just want you all to know.
Can I get tapped over there?
Can I get tapped? God.
The ultimate goal is to save the world. You know?
Save the world.
You know,
what do you mean save the world?
Save the universe.
I'm a little suspicious
of
saving, because you could save the world with violence.
You could kill all the humans.
We need to
save
the world. It's a very general phrase that could mean anything. It's really, I would like the world to operate in the vision that I have. Which is savior. That vision is obviously environmental, freedom, justice, you know.
But you haven't been tapped yet.
Cooperation.
Once you get tapped, who knows what your vision's going to be?
Well, that's what I worry about, because here's my plan.
I worry about you selling out.
I want to get powerful and then get tapped and then finagle my way to the top and then say, we're going to fix the ozone layer. We're going to fix all these civil issues. We're going to... Here's what we're doing.
And stop hurting
I believe in myself that I can go from tap to change without dying. But everyone dies. Everyone that goes into that black area loses their soul.
You lose your soul. And you wouldn't even be Sarah.
So I don't know what it is that happens to them that makes them change.
Power corrupts.
They all had great plans.
It doesn't corrupt Harry Potter.
Right?
But what if it was a little deeper?
Yeah, I mean, I think of Clinton, you know. I mean, I'm sure he was very idealistic. He came from nothing.
He's still great.
He is still great, but he was co-opted.
And he was also brainwashed.
Co-opted and brainwashed? I think of him as a leader.
I loved him.
You know, I love him, too. I mean, certainly, comparatively, he's a lovable guy.
I really think that power is best suited to those who never wanted it in the first place.
He certainly rained bombs down on...
It is! It's important! He is wise!
He rained bombs down on Europe, for God's sake. You know. They were fighting with each other, but why did we have to rain bombs down on them?
Bombs. See, what if someday I'm in a position to decide whether I need to bomb something or not? Like, is it automatically, don't bomb? I am anti-bomb, always anti-bomb. Right?
I think when in doubt, don't bomb.
Okay, I agree.
I would say, yeah, big on the anti-bombing.
But I mean, if you're the bomb decision maker, then you gotta
the bomb guy.
You gotta, if you're the bomb guy, then you gotta know what you're saying when you say,
I don't
bomb
think,
or don't bomb.
I don't think wars. Excuse moi, I'm being bombed internally.
Right. She's getting bombed.
I'm getting bombed. Yeah, right. I really, I.
Hemp for Victor.
I'm not a real war buff, but I've heard that none of these wars have been really won through bombing. Even you could say World War II was won by the Russians more than the Americans. Don't they say that? The Russians won it against the Nazis because they just persisted. They just held out. They just were willing to die more, and they won. And America kind of coasted into the winning position with that wonderful war, World War II, which we claim all the credit for, with our bombs. I don't know that bombing
wins a war. So why does Clinton make the decision to somewhat quietly bomb some remote location? Like, what interest
okay,
was it
there's
that
a
made
big
him do that?
Interest in the people that make the bombs, like I've said.
What?
And I think Brother Joe will back me
That's
up.
That's really...
There's a huge business in making bombs.
Yes.
And if you don't...
Big time.
Huge.
If you don't set off the bombs, they go bad. They go bad, and then you haven't set off the bombs, and then you don't get a new order for more bombs. They have a huge lobby to get those bombs dropped somewhere, because then you'll get a fresh order for more bombs, and, you know, this is a business. This is a huge business. It's like we want our clients to call more. They want more bombs to be dropped. It makes them more money, and they have tremendous amount of money.
Is that one of the top industries?
Oh, in America,
yes.
Yes.
No,
military-industrial complex
maybe
is
military.
It, period.
Well, you know, the oil industry is up
the
there.
Oil.
But, of
oil
course, and they're related.
And but, I mean, food doesn't really battle, or...
food. Food.
Porn.
I mean, food
porn
is such
military,
a...
Industrial
military is
complex.
Big.
Pharmaceuticals can be
big.
Thrown in on that.
Pharmaceuticals is big, too.
And then you could definitely...
Huge.
I like pharmaceuticals. That would be
I would have to
my...
say, if I have to choose, I would like pharmaceuticals
yeah,
to be a bigger...
I could
bigger...
be an evil pharmaceutical
yeah.
company.
I could, too. I've even been paid by the pharmaceutical
That's
industry.
That's better than being an evil
for being
military
sitting in on these discussions about... Women's Viagra and these crazy things like women's
there's
Viagra.
There's a new drug for everything
you
now.
Know,
there's a new pill for everything that could possibly be wrong.
For Sarah, it's a shaved swimmer's body. I mean, a women's Viagra. You know, women's Viagra is very tough to come up with. Okay, so we have a caller. It's emotional. Women are very emotional about sex.
That we are.
Although I do think a woman's Viagra is just learning to do your PC muscle exercises.
I'm really good at those.
Mm. James. Let's talk to James.
James.
Hello, James. James, on line one. Can we hear James? Is
no
there
line
a
line one?
There's no line one. Right.
So,
okay. So no. I have a note that says James on line one. I just want everyone to know there's a note that says this.
I'm disappointed. I was, you know... flexing my PC muscles and everything.
Yeah.
I was just doing that. I was just
yeah.
doing that when she mentioned it.
Ready for James,
yeah,
who said he has a machine that would relieve pressures. I mean, this is really sounds like an interesting call.
Sounds like a telemarketer.
A machine that would relieve
It's like
pressures?
A Bowflex.
I would be interested in hearing about that. Mm. But anyway.
Well.
He's not there. I don't feel so lame because, let me tell you, the calls on Playboy Radio, and this is Playboy. What is a bigger name in sex than Playboy? Mm. Is there a bigger name in sex than Playboy?
Maybe Hustler, but
No. No, Hustler is not a bigger
Playboy.
Name.
No,
not
bigger, Playboy, no. In my opinion, is the biggest name
biggest.
In
yeah.
sex.
It's
That's the
probably
biggest, most widely known, most widely broadcast. And
it's very hip. It crossed over to mainstream.
I can tell you as a
it
male
is.
Who they market the most for, Playboy, Penthouse,
Markets.
Hustler.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, exactly. If we forgot about Penthouse, that's right. Yeah.
Penthouse.
And little kids wear the Playboy bunny.
Hustler is more of a franchise, though. It's got a...
I'm just saying. Those are the three I know when I think of this,
oh.
this subject.
Oh, I thought that was like money. I was trying to figure
oh,
out...
Oh, I don't
Penthouse
know about money.
Make so much money.
Yeah, Penthouse and Playboy have to have a lot of the big bucks.
Anyway, I would just like to say that we have a great show, even though we have no calls tonight. And I'm resigned to having no calls at all tonight. But It's at least as good as Playboy, right?
Oh, probably better.
I think it's better. But, you know, I mean, I had a good time on the Playboy show. The calls were a little lame. But Suzanne was nice. She was good. She was pretty funny, especially when she was talking about the Asian fetish.
That was hilarious. That
yeah.
was very funny.
Yeah. So we're going to have her on the show, and that'll be fun. And then the Dom, what was the Dom's name? Nikki...
Nikki Hunter. Wait,
Nikki
I have her
Hunter.
Card in my back pocket.
Right, right. We're going to have her on with her slave.
Nikki Hunter.
I think, yeah. Nikki Hunter, do you know Nikki? Here's her picture, the card.
Let me take a look.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
and her slave were just so cute. I thought they were
He was
adorable.
Very sincere. He was very sincere.
But
he was
I
really
love,
getting into sucking those toes.
I love truly intimate dominant and submissive relationships. I think they're some of the most beautiful, intimate relationships that I could see and find. This is my opinion here, but I love.
I'm surprised you don't have some slaves sucking on your toes during the show, Terry.
Sometimes
I mean, you got a lot of guys here. Can't you get one of them to suck on your toes if you're so interested? I mean, I'm sure that one would do it.
You know, I'm not quite sure I'm at that phase of my life, but maybe I'll get there.
Well, you spoke about it so eloquently just now.
I've been trying to think all
seemed
day,
like
actually,
you were ready
about,
for
like,
it.
Out of the closet. How would you call coming out of the BDSM closet? What's a clever way to phrase that? I've been thinking about that all day, actually.
Yeah,
going
tell
into
me,
the
because
dungeon.
They didn't interview you about this, but I think no. that they... I'm going to interview you a little bit. What, like,
it's time to
do you have a fetish? The subject was fetishes.
My fetish?
Yeah, do you have a fetish? Do you have something that you like to think about, or is there something...
I think about many, many different things, but as far as fetishes goes, I mean, I'm open to all different sexual walks of life and at least, like, reading up on and researching
right.
things to see if I would be into them.
We will not be using the classical definition of fetish, which means
no.
that you require this thing in order to orgasm or
I
have a good time.
I don't think I require
but
anything
this would be
really
the more
orgasm.
Modern 21st century definition of fetish, which is simply something you kind of like.
Yeah, and that's... But I'm recently discovered and trying to be more open about and come out of my BDSM closet because it's important to me. I am... Very much
I think
into
that's it. I think she
something
she
that
told
you,
us.
Okay,
I
so
did.
BDSM.
I'm out.
So
out.
So being tied up, and we already knew
not
that.
Just being tied
on,
up.
What
I
was
am,
it? Arrow's Day. Your birthday.
I was. Yeah. I was.
And
on the
and we tied up Terry
yes,
as your
you
gift,
did.
And she was totally willing, and has a big shit-eating grin on her face.
I do. I loved being your gift, Sarah.
That's
at
a
your
proper.
Birthday.
You see, you can't say a defecation-eating grin.
Oh, God.
You want to say shit. Yeah,
no,
that's shit is
very
medical. That sounds
medical.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's good.
But yeah, but I can't, I don't know if I could see myself like owning slaves or anything because I'm a switch. I like to experience both sides, and a lot of it comes from a love of pain and wanting to
pain
channel that.
And
you said it perfectly and more eloquently today on the radio show when you were talking about taking those negative like impulses that are inside of us and that are human, like anger and inside of me, a love of pain and feeling pain and sometimes inflicting it, you know, in a
right.
real dark, morbid way
right.
and coming to terms with the fact that that meant I could channel it sexually and in the most, and only, I wouldn't do that with just anyone. That's something that's, it would be very specific and someone I would have to trust very much in order to, you'd have to.
Turning it into sex art.
But turning it into sexual art, turning it into something beautiful, something I can share, the dominance and submission part of it, and the pain and the bondage as well.
And that's what all these warriors should do. They should all get into BDSM.
I think so. I think it's a such a healthy way to channel it.
Sarah doesn't see where the money is in that, though. She's kind of...
I like all sorts of things, but I'm not coming out of the closet tonight, so...
Well, incarceration is certainly a theme of tonight's show and of my life lately. I mean, I have a loved one who is incarcerated.
In bondage.
In bondage.
In bondage.
Against his will.
That's my favorite kind of bondage.
Well, but against the will is your favorite kind.
I'm just kidding. Just because of the box.
Wow, Sarah.
It's the falsified against your will.
Sister
it's not
Sarah
just,
is a wild card.
She is a wild fucking card.
The devil has your soul.
You know, who knows what side she's going to be on.
Or where, what she's going to say, what
and,
she's going to
think.
And
she is now in the dangerous room of the speakeasy that has had turncoats in it.
What?
Sarah,
I have faith in you. I am not going to let you go, Sid.
No,
I would never.
I have That's faith different. In you, too, but you are saying scary things,
Illuminati
and you know it.
Dark agent.
I wouldn't... It's because we're dark. We
well,
are
it's
dark
okay.
People.
I think Terry explained
Sarah,
it
like,
immediately after that
Sarah
comment.
Like
she
said
it. It's
drama.
About the fake non-drama.
Drama, right.
Yeah.
Creating drama.
Because that, I mean, that's just as hot to me, but it's not... The power lies in you, in giving someone else the power to take you against your will. The true power, I always said, I
well,
would
it's
think,
the difference
the
between the
person.
Reality and the drama, exactly. It's drama happens
yeah.
in stories, in books, in movies, and sometimes in life you hear about
in
it.
In role-playing.
Sometimes on the internet you hear about this.
And then it happens sometimes in real life.
Yeah.
Where someone you love is really kidnapped. And
who knows what that
is. Held in chains.
That's something where you feel it and you sweat and your heart pounds and that's no fun.
Well, you do have all that. Well, it's I wouldn't say no fun. There is a certain romance to it. I have to admit.
You should write a book about it.
I have so many books inside of me, darling. I just don't know which to write first.
That's how I feel.
I tell
every
you,
day.
I need a staff of writers to write my books for me, baby. I just have so many books. I got to write a book about my hospital experience. I mean, really, the life and death, and all the drugs I took. Oh my God, it's an incredible book.
I feel that way every day. So many books,
and you're only 22.
Exactly, and
so
I already have like five books. I just have to do it.
You know, these books come up and...
I've been through some crazy shit, and I know you have too. We have to write our books. We have to tell our stories.
But it's easier to just do a radio show.
Or blog on the internet.
Blogging, I find, is difficult. It's writing. Writing is so much more difficult than talking.
Writing is so much easier to
me
than talking and communicating. Writing is... the greatest form of expression in my opinion.
I need to loosen up my writing. I mean, actually,
your writing,
you know what?
Let's
talk about writing for a minute. Well, yeah, it's which writing? My emails that I write spontaneously?
All of it.
Well,
all
because
it.
My blogs I labor over. I don't know how to write just...
That's the way I do it. When I labor over something, that's a true project. It takes a lot of focus. I write quickly, spontaneously a lot.
I write it in my head for several days, sometimes weeks before I sit down.
If I write something spontaneously, I make a lot of mistakes and...
Well, you reread it a million times.
Oh yeah, reread a million times.
Well, then you're laboring over it. What are you talking about?
That's different. Then
but
it's
I mean,
already
these
in the
people
world.
That write blogs every day, they write something every day.
Sometimes I write every day, sometimes I don't. It depends on my life. It depends on how I'm feeling. If I feel like I can accurately blog about things every
today.
Day.
Did I blog today?
You blogged twice today, Sarah.
I blogged twice today.
I blogged
how
like
much did you write?
Six times today.
Go to my journal. I don't even remember what I blogged about. That's how important it was to me.
You blogged about blocking... Fucking!
Oh yeah, I
AM.
Blocked someone on AIM who
and
was annoying
me.
And
then you blogged about Mission Metallica.
I
didn't even have
to
go.
About
I remember.
Mission Metallica.
So when you're blogging, it's almost like bulletining.
Yeah.
Or you could be bulletining your feelings or something you're going to do.
Well, we're talking about mellow blogging, and that's a whole different kind because there are so many folders. You can blog about anything and everything.
But I think all blogging is the same. It's just like Twitter, or it's just like a blog. You just random things happen to you, and you
let it out.
You put them in little spurts. So as it happens to you, it's like a live feed almost.
I go back and read. I've been on Mellow. Today's like Robert's 6 years.
I think
been
of
on
you
over
as a
six
columnist.
Years, and it's like,
yeah, I come from a columnist.
Yeah, you are a columnist.
I'm
but that's
not
a journal.
There's
that's
no
like
word
an
for that in the
life.
Blogosphere, but it's kind of what you do. You write essays and well thought out opinions that the blogger culture could never really. Well, I don't know. My boss.
Well, they do. No,
we do embrace
come on,
it. We absolutely
on.
People
do.
But they call it blogs, and they do the same
they
thing.
Call
I'm sure.
No, there's a lot of people like me. I'm not the only one
that write every day long.
Well, no, they don't write it. No, the people like me don't write every day. They write
well,
every once
style.
In a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an internet columnist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a but you're not. Yeah, you're not just writing these quick things every day. I don't know. I think I need a different system to do that. Now we're getting too techie, though. So.
Well, you can always Twitter.
Subject material, though.
Twittering is fun.
I love Twitter. I just recently got really into Twitter.
I have no idea what Twitter does.
Susie, we need to get you more into Twitter and update
what
your...
What does Twitter do? Just explain that.
Random updates.
Because I feel that a lot of our listeners don't know.
Either a lot of your listeners are probably listening to this because of Twitter. Because I put it on your Twitter. That you were doing this. Things that you're doing. Upcoming events. What you're doing. You can
it's
update
a live
it.
Feed.
It's a live feed of
random
your life.
Thoughts. And so people do it from
are
anywhere
real men
in the
on
world.
Twitter? I mean, Twitter just sounds like such a girly
it's not really
it's
a
it's
community
about
thing.
It's
I mean,
not a
really.
Community it's a way
babbling
for you to
what
keep track
do for the
of people
day.
If
people
you use the word
you.
Bulletin if you think of a really short bulletin it's just shitloads of bulletins all over the place
bulletins
like for example the most famous Twitter of recent times this chick like was at her gynecologist when the earthquake hit And so she said, my gynecologist was in my vagina when the earthquake hit. Like, she twittered this. And, like, everyone thought it was so hilarious. Like, they, like,
I heard about
that. And shit. She did it from her cell phone, like, right after the gynecologist, you know, because she just does these funny little play-by-plays of her life.
So now, when you Twitter, you just you put a little play-by-play on this Twitter site.
It's just a one-sentence funny little thought or
something. When interesting things happen, and you can do it from the internet or from your cell phone.
And could that be something that we could also have on our site?
Yeah, it shows up on all your sites.
I already have it. I've already taken care of all of it.
Okay, I got to start
So let's say you're at
it. Okay. So now I know. I'll do that, and I'll do the long blogs.
So just let me know all the time.
Well, today you can do it.
Well, I think I'd have to do it.
You know, having a good time or... checking out the happy hooker. Everyone here is a suit. You just do it
from
your phone.
So you do it on your phone. I don't think my phone is...
Or on the internet.
Is. You can do it from your phone. Trust
me. I'll do it for you. We'll hook it up.
On my phone?
Yeah,
on your phone. Any of your cell phones. You always carry a cell phone on you.
Yeah, I do, but, you know, they're not like big, fancy phones like yours.
Nope, doesn't matter. Mine's a piece of shit, and it works.
I should...
Look at this. Look at this.
You can do it from the internet, too, if you're on the internet.
Yeah.
But the phone is useful because you do it when you're out and about. You give play-by-plays. And then sometimes people are also there, and so they'll reply to you or something else like that, you know?
Wow. You know, I've been using the phone more because I've been out more, because usually I just like to stay in the speakeasy because, I mean, if you lived in the speakeasy and you were me, you wouldn't want to leave either. I mean, I don't usually want to leave, but
it is a world.
It's a world, and I love this world. I mean, a lot of people like it and love it, but I really love it because, I mean, a lot of people have built it, but, and I can't say I've really built it, but I've been here from the beginning. I can say that, and kind of finagled all the builders into building it. And the
right.
Finagling skill. So it's something I've dreamed about since I was a little girl. So, you know, it's like here. I mean, I don't say that I dreamed about the dildos. I dreamed about living in a castle with a lot of people that were fun and exciting and doing shows and wearing princessy type outfits.
And wow. That's pretty good.
And trying to make peace on Earth. I mean, that came a little after the princessy type outfit fantasy, but it integrated.
I'm sure outfit fantasies were right front.
They're very
step
fresh.
Number one.
Yes, step one, really shortly after masturbation, which was probably step one, but light masturbation. But then princessy outfits, and then peace on Earth, you know, because the Vietnam War was happening. So I was a make love, not war chickie. And so that's
what
this place is.
So you just picked the major tenets that you were into as a child that sort of formed everything.
Yes.
I'm going to think of mine. I'm going to brainstorm what my childhood tenets were.
Well, you gave me that book, The Ordinary Princess. Mm. So that must have something to do with your childhood.
Yeah.
But that's another segment. But should we go back to the through line here? Should we just leap off the tangent?
I have to work in the morning.
Okay, so I'm going to just connect it and then end.
All right.
Okay, so the connection is that I love to stay in the speakeasy, but lately I've been going out a lot because I've been visiting my loved one who has been kidnapped. They do let me visit the kidnappers.
How nice of them. How sweet.
Yeah, they have arranged very security-riddled, armed, and controlled visits and recorded as well. So I do go out. So I'm thinking more about phones, because I never thought phones were very important. Cell phones, that is. So I should learn more how to do these phone things that I don't know how to do, like texting and...
Well, you texted me recently.
No, I texted you on my computer, though. I didn't do it on the phone.
She texted me, too, and I was like, wow, Susie.
No. Susie did that on her computer. I just did this little thing on AIM that says you can write to this person's cell phone.
Well, we've got to get
clever.
You texting.
Okay,
so
very clever.
And your PR manager will handle
it. In fact, you're so clever that I will not accept the excuse that you can't figure out a cell phone or anything
like
that.
I won't either. I'm going to give you cell phone /Twitter 101 training tomorrow.
After you've texted the first time, you're going to laugh. It's easy.
And then you'll be a texting
fool. One new button for you.
Oh, I love texting.
It's just all this thumb action.
Yeah,
this is true.
It's a whole new world of writing.
I just
writing with your thumb.
I love
writing
like
a monkey.
I refuse generally to pick up the phone. I only text.
Oh, me too. Me too. I hate answering the phone.
I
text
like
mad.
Wow. Wow. Well, I can't be like that. Because I'm a therapist.
No, you're a phone person.
It took me a few years.
And I have to be on the phone for certain people. They also let my kidnapped loved one make phone calls.
I bet they don't let him make text messages.
No, no.
No.
No texting from jail.
No texting. From the undisclosed location. So anyway, we will light our candles for those who died in 9/11. And we will light our candles for those who have died in the wars that have been perpetrated ludicrously but tragically in the name of 9/11. And we will light our candles for those who are kidnapped, incarcerated unfairly.
In bondage.
In bondage against their will. And we will have hope for those of us who can follow the bonobo way and take that part of ourselves that pursues bondage and evil and war and terror and turn it into love, into velvet ropes and food for the hungry. And vibrators for the horny. And phone sex for all. Peace. Thank you, Brother Joe, Sister Terry, Sister Sarah, Brother Tony, Brother Nick, the silent one, the silent brother.
Happy mellow birthday, Cornzilla.
And happy mellow birthday, Brother Corn. Corny. Oh, there you are. Oh, you were hiding. I didn't see you. I was behind my screen here. And thank you, listeners, brothers and sisters. I know you're there. And one of these days we'll figure out how to get you here. Be good. Try not to hurt anyone. Unless they really want to be hurt.
Unless they really want to be hurt.
Make like the bonobos, not the baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.